Well, we're going to shift from knitting to I'm looking at this delicious recipe of guacamole on Sonia's website. Her website is thepaintedfish.com, all one word, no punctuation. So, Sonia, why don't you take us down to the land called Sian Khan, where the sky is born, as Armando, your wonderful husband, says. Take us through how you came to become the Doña of the Kuzan Guest House. And let's do a little bit of history on Sonia Lilvik. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it was lonely many years ago, about 26, I believe, but I was at a big crossroads in my life in the United States, and that's a whole other story, so I'll just take it from there. When I happened to meet a gentleman that had a small seaside unresort, he called it, and that was called Kailum, and it was just an hour south of Cancun, and I went there to work as a manager for a four-month contract, and was totally overwhelmed with the beauty of the place and decided to re-up for four more months so that I'd be there in low season and actually get around. So the first, my first Mayan was in the kitchen of this place where we served anywhere from 20 to 80 people a night with from a sand floor kitchen and a totally Mayan staff that didn't speak Spanish, and I didn't speak Spanish or Mayan, so...
Oh, my word.
That's
a handicap, my dear. Yeah, but did it meet your needs at that point? You say you were at a crossroads in your life. Was this an exciting epiphany, or did you take the right fork in the crossroads, Sonia?
For me to tell it today, definitely. I mean, it was definitely the thing to do. And take a chance and go somewhere new, and because it was so marvelous, I did stay, especially to go on to learn Spanish. That was, all of a sudden, I had this vision that I really had to learn Spanish. I'd been in the country 8 months, but my role was mostly up front with the guests speaking English or in the kitchen with the Mayan staff, and we just somehow managed. So when my contract finished there, I had met these fellows from Cozumel, and I, you know, when you know what you want or you have a vision of what you want, mm-hmm. it's so much easier to go there. Mostly we're pulled here and we're pulled there, and we just kind of follow the road, but we don't really have a goal. So mine at that time was to learn Spanish. So I said to these guys, I said, listen, I know what I really want, and I was wondering if you could help direct me to some place where they speak Spanish and not just Mayan, a small pueblo. I mean, do you know of a guru where it could help me with my spiritual life and make me run through the jungle, swim in the sea, and also speak Spanish so I could learn my Spanish, not just Mayan? So they looked at each other, and both of them said, well, we'll take you to Punta Allen, to Armando. Well, he's no real guru, but he certainly showed me the new lifestyle. So in that sense, definitely. And he has some really good attitudes towards his life. He's pretty well grounded, and he, you know, is a happy person and a positive person. So they said, okay, we'll take you down there. And I thought, well, I better check these guys out. So I went to Cozumel, and they're both business owners. One had a sailboat, one has a dive business still going on today. And they seemed pretty legit. So I agreed to meet this fellow at Tulum, where those days you had to wait for a ride down. There's still no buses that go down this road, but it's a 30-mile dirt road from the Tulum ruin site to Punta Allen, a lobster fishing village. So I thought we were going to be driving down, but no, we were trying to hitch a ride. And lo and behold, a nice pickup truck stopped for us.
Oh, my God. Talk about an adventure, lady.
Yeah, and I jumped in the back, which is what was available, and everybody was trying to be so gracious and kept offering the tire that was in the middle of the bed of the truck for me to sit on. And I thought, no, I want to see where I'm going. And so we started down this tunnel of coconut palms over this sandy white road. And on the left, there was this Caribbean sea, these turquoise colors changing all the time. Mm. And on the right, the low scrub jungle of the area. And quite a while later, we arrived in Punta Allen. And we went to find Armando's beautiful palapa, which is a thatched roof structure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he lived. And he had it decorated. When I looked at it, I thought, oh my goodness, this, you know, it was so contemporary. You know, I expected it to be some old man fisherman.
Right.
But it wasn't. So that's how I landed there. And that very same day, people heard that, you know, those days hardly anybody came to visit there. So they heard there was a foreigner in town, and they started to gather around, and somebody brought over a couple of really big fish, and they started preparing them, and I saw them open it up, butterfly it out, and the next time I turned around, it was painted red.
Huh.
And that's where I get the name the Painted Fish, because
they
were using...
What did they paint it with, Sonia? What was the red from?
It's from the achiote paste that they use, what they call it a ricotta, which is a spice paste, and they have three or four different kinds that they use. But the red one is with the achiote, which comes from the lipstick tree plant. I thought you might like that after last week's show.
Yes, yes, thank you. We did the lipstick reveal with Wendy Lynn Phillips, that's right. Thank you for listening. Very interesting. So
right.
The painted fish. So take us. When did you become enamored of Armando? When did you two?
It was pretty quick.
Really?
It was pretty quick. It's so romantic down there, you know, with the breeze rustling the trees, the coconut palms, and the music playing, and the great food, and the painted fish is really ancient dish called the Tikkun Sheek, but I nicknamed it the painted fish in a translation. So down there, you know, how in the States we talk about pillow talk. Well, down there we have hammock talk.
Hammock talk. Oh, now that even sounds romantic, doesn't it, Liat?
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely does. Now, were you shopping for a husband? Was Armando shopping for a wife? Did you think you'd be business partners? Did you have any idea what you were getting? Did you ever go home?
Oh, yeah. I left a couple of times and then would get drawn back somehow. I felt this energy pulling me back there, and I tried to, you know, be sensible a couple of times and realize,
why,
you know.
Why bother?
Because our backgrounds are so different, but we were already mature, and we'd had, you know, been through other situations and other relationships. So somehow we've made it work, and it's not always been easy. I won't say that, but it's certainly been interesting.
He doesn't speak any English to this day, because I asked you if Armando wanted to come on the interview today, and you said, no, he doesn't speak any English.
That's correct. That was our agreement. He already had two languages with his Mayan and Spanish. And even though I came from a trilingual family, I only spoke English, and it's just shameful, but that's how I was. So that was our agreement, that I would do the Spanish, and he didn't have to. But he's a communicator. If you met him in person, he would somehow communicate with you. His father was like that, too.
Now, didn't he want any of your English to rub off on him, Sonia? Wasn't there, you must speak English around him, or had he no interest at all in learning it?
He's not very interested, but he can understand a lot more than he lets on. But he doesn't, you know, he only says a few words.
I bet he does. Now, I want to talk about, in your book, in your one sheet, you say, with December 21st, 2012, marking the end of the 5,000-year-old Mayan calendar, this is great timing for the world to take notice of Mayan cooking. What is this? Is the world supposed to come to an end of the calendar? They just stop printing calendars on that day? Tell me.
Well, that's it. Depends on who you talk to, but the Mayan shamans down here say no, that this is, we're not talking about an end of anything, we're talking about a new beginning. So we're talking about a rejuvenation and a new consciousness and caring for the earth. And although there are definitely big changes happening, even according to NASA, there's going to be changes in the Milky Way. Some say that the magnetic poles may be shifting. True North may not be True North anymore. And this isn't all happening exactly on one day. We're building up to it. So everything is happening now and will be happening afterwards. But there is scientific evidence to show that there is.
Now, I have a very important question for you. Will the flavor and shape and texture of your avocados change on December 21st, 2012, so that guacamole gets reinvented in another shape and size and color, Sonia?
Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? Because I'm just, I eat an avocado almost every day. So
now, what do your avocados look like? We buy them in the grocery store here in New York, and they're mostly hard, and you don't know what's happening inside. And if you get one that's a little soft, then you might get it home, and it could be mushy or too ripe. It's very, very hard. So you get them where? Right off of, is there a grove, a tree?
No, well, we do a couple of things. The Hass are the ones that are commercialized in the States,
mm-hmm.
and we used to get pretty good ones when I lived in California, but I agree, on the East Coast it's a little tricky. But here, right where I live now, inland, in the Zona Maya, on this piece of land that in the city, in the town, we have three different kinds of avocado trees, and when they give, we are just inundated with them and really enjoy them, as well as our mango tree and our tamarind tree and our orange tree.
You're making me very, very jealous. I can't imagine having a mango tree nearby. Now, what's the secret to great guacamole? I know you and your friend Suzanne Caprio have 7 videos on your website, thepaintedfish.com, and one of them is, I'm looking right now at red sauce and tortilla is one of the offerings. Another one is guacamole. Another one is margarita. So in the few minutes we have, well, we have about 6 minutes left before we bring Diane DiNapoli on. What's the secret to fabulous guacamole that everybody will be coming back for more?
Well, I think that you have to squeeze a little lime into it so that it gives it a little zest. And use your, tomatoes and onions and cilantro. And the cilantro really makes a difference in a guacamole, too. Leave the pit in so that it doesn't turn brown right away. A lot of people know that.
Now, wait a minute. You take the pits out of the avocados you're using as you mash them, but you leave the pits in the bowl? Is that what you do?
That's correct. That'll keep it from oxidating rapidly. You know how avocado can turn on it.
Oh,
yeah. But if you leave the pits in, it will not do that. You can make it a little earlier and keep it in the fridge.
Do you use the pits to grow more avocados? Is that what you
do?
Sure.
You can, yes. And matter of fact, you can even use it as a decorative plant in your house by sticking toothpicks.
We put toothpicks in and put it over a little custard cup of water and hope that it roots and it gets tall and lanky. Yeah, I've done that. That's a class project, I think. Now, what's the secret to the world-class margaritas that you make? What's the ingredient?
That it's all natural. It's all fresh. So squeezing fresh limes. If you can get key limes, which are very tart, which I like, that is the best. But, even any kind of, lime that you can get, and I tend to use very little of the sweet liqueur. So you have to do it to your taste. But that's the secret. No, none of these ready-made mixes. Everything's fresh.
Everything is fresh.
Yeah.
And you mentioned here in your book that the Mayan culture speaks 30 different languages. Is that languages or dialects? It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, there's like 37 different And here it's the Yucatec Maya, and that's the one that is popular here.
Was I confusing Inca with Mayan? Are those two different civilizations?
Yes, very different.
Okay.
Inca's down in Peru, and we're in southern Mexico on the Caribbean. So it's also known as the Riviera Maya now, so people know what it's about.
I knew you were straightening me out. And tortilla. You talk about the handmade tortillas. You give recipes. You tell that the women can talk. They don't talk very much when they're doing it, but they can socialize. And the way they make them, everyone is completely uniform to the last one and the one next one coming up. They are absolutely uniform in the way they make them, even though they're by hand. How is that possible, Sonia?
That's absolutely true. I guess when you've made thousands of them, they come out pretty good. But they watch from early on. Little children watch as their mother makes them, and then they start making tortillas very young, too. And you just, with practice, like with anything, I think, really shows the craftsmanship of making a tortilla, or the art of making a tortilla.
I bet there's nothing more delicious than a homemade tortilla.
No. It's hard to describe, because you get that corn flavor.
Yeah.
Instead of the, I have a European background, and we were bred, so it took me a while to get used to the corn, and now I just love it.
I bet. It's an acquired taste. You have a great page 24-25 in your book is the types and intensities of chilies. I love the word intensities because that's exactly what you have to deal with. And you have the habanero, and you have the blonde chili in Maya, the chili seco, the chili de arbol. That's the tree chili. You have the jalapeno, the serrano, the guajillo, the poblano, and the ancho. Wow, that's a lot of chilies. I won't go near any of them. And you say that you're sensitive to spice, and you don't use much chilies in your chilies in your food.
Yeah, and all my years serving people, I always put it on the side. And now there's some traditional dishes here that it should be in. And the main chili from this area is the habanero. And one time when I was crossing over, you know, I said, the land of the habanero, when I drove down, because it's famous for this really, really hot chili. But you can serve it on the side, and even just with a little lime juice and chili cut up, habanero chili cut up, a little bit of salt, and then I use the lime juice instead of the chili itself, and it'll be plenty seasoning for me.
Interesting, and I was fascinated by your salsa de piña, the pineapple salsa, which was interesting to me because it is a salsa. It's tomato, cucumber, red onion, cilantro, garlic, lime juice, brown sugar, olive oil, salt, and pepper, but you've got chopped fresh pineapple. Wow, that sounds like a potent brew. Is that something that's very popular down there?
Yeah, we have fresh fruits of all kinds, mango salsas, and you know, just any fresh fruit here people just love, and we eat seasonally, which brings me to my topic. My current passion is about slow food, which Mayan food always is, because it's, you know, caught locally, prepared slowly with care. It has to be good. It has to be fresh. And you have to share it with people. Fortunately, Armando's a feeder, too. I like to feed people. And so we do pretty good when people visit. We get going in the kitchen, and he takes over the seafood, and I'll do the trimmings. And people don't hesitate to use fruit in many ways down here on their dishes.
It sounds like you've discovered a dream way of life, Sonia. How long? You've been there 26 years now?
Yeah.
Could you ever imagine doing anything else? Is this
not
this
right
paradise?
Now? Nope. But I never imagined this either.
I know. Well, what were you doing? You said that you went down there to manage what was it, a bed and breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I had a business in San Francisco with my former husband, and then when that stopped, that's when I came down here. So I did have a business background, and way before that, I was a dental hygienist, and I taught at the University of California for many years.
You've been around the block, lady. Wow, you taught. That's interesting. So now you're creating wonderful, romantic, passionate food that people can use their teeth to do. I'm trying to make a full circle here. I'm doing a terrible
job.
You
sure do make the circle. You do. I guess that can be part of it. But actually what I'm on to now, I'm partnering with two friends. One, on a slow food thing, we're going to have two workshops on the beach this winter in January and February.
I see them on your website, January 15th through the 22nd and February 26th through March 5th. Very interesting. Space is limited. To click here for complete information. And what are the workshops about?
Well, that's going to be, if you come on down, we'll send you out in the boat with the fishermen and let you catch your very own lobster. And come back and cook it. And then we'll send you out another day, catch your own fish.
I think I can bring you some of my family members who are still passionate about lobsters. Dad introduced us to Maine lobster when we were little, and we can clean out a lobster like it's almost embarrassing how thorough we are. There's nothing romantic about watching me and my sister and my mom eat lobster. We just got the thing. It's everything is sacred to us. So I couldn't imagine fresh lobster. That must be a real fresh lobster, a real treat.
It is a real treat, but it is the spiny lobster, so most of the meat's in the tail, because this is a warm water lobster, so I don't want you to be disappointed. It's not the main lobster that you...
I would know. I'm willing to have something else. Now, we're going to have to move over.